Last year, was it last year or 2015 we worked together?
It's 2015 now. I mean, God, I can't, so long ago already.
So Kevin is a very creative coach. He does executive coaching and corporate coaching, and he brings an amazing creativity and spirit to his coaching. Everything that I have done with Kevin has been not only fun, but it has enabled me to learn some amazing things about myself and about my coaching. So we are in for an incredible treat today. And Terry, if you're ready with your recording, we'll go ahead and turn it over to Kevin. Thanks, Kevin, for joining us.
Thanks, Kathy, for that amazing introduction, and I hope I can uphold that with everyone today. Anyway, I'm very honored to be here with the cohort. I mean, it's just, I'm very, very excited, and I want to thank you very much for Terry for inviting me, and also Kathy, and this is just a wonderful day for me. And also, this is one of the first times I've been on Skype with so many people, with me speaking, so this is really an exciting first as well, learning these technologies and doing this. So, okay, what we're going to do is today is about embody creativity in your coaching practice. And I just would like to read, first of all, what the coaching definition is for ICF. And if you just remember it, it says, coaching is partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. I didn't for a long time read this, and then I realized that it says creative process. And yes, we do a creative process. And I'm sure that every one of you uses some sort of creative process, because creativity is ongoing in the way we question and the way we listen and all of these particular aspects of coaching. And one of the things that has drawn me from this is what I like to think of is that a lot of the time we become talking heads. And I'm sure that you all, when the coaching, it's like the talking head and it's what's happening in the physical body. And it's interesting, a friend of mine was talking to me yesterday about acupuncture, and his acupuncturist said, you know, you've got to get out of your head and into your body. And the fact is that we need to be into our bodies more. Our bodies are speaking to us very loudly, as we all know, when we have an ache or a pain or whichever, our body speaks. And it's about that listening process to it. And so I'm just going to go through some little exercises with you and show you some of my process and some of the things that might be helpful for you to go forward in. Also, in expanding even further. So, and one would say that maybe this is not exactly the ICF rules that we're doing here. However, I think that sometimes we have to break rules a little bit and get a bit outrageous at times, don't you think? So, and we get the best out of our clients by doing that. So what I would like to do is just share with you a little bit about, I use a variety of cards like this, processes. So I use index cards, I use colors, and I use create a painting or pictures or drawing or whichever. But I also use the start off by the head and then moving into the body. And I think that many of us use similar questions such as, how does that feel in your body? Where do you feel that in your body? But at the same time, I also ask, what is there a color that's associated with that? Is there a symbol that we can put to that? Is there? And I have them, and when I'm listening to them, I'm grabbing words from what, as we all are doing, where I'm grabbing words so that they can put them on their little index cards. And so as an overall, what happens is that we go through maybe a question or a situation. We go through this in different areas. I have them put information on the card, and then I have them stand, and I have them to walk around it. I have them to maybe do a gesture, whichever. So that's the overall. But right now what we're going to do is we're going to take it through a few exercises. And I think that's probably the best way. Now, Many of you do the areas of life, right? You do the wheel. Is that correct? Do I get a nod from a lot of people? Yeah, you do. Yeah. Okay, so here's a nice little exercise for that. And that is that once you've done the wheel, is that, hello? There's somebody just coming in. There's somebody coming in on the telephone. Anyway, when we've done the wheel, then I will ask them to take a portion out of that wheel.
I'm sorry, it was Sean Duggan. I'll put myself on mute. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So I would take, say, for example, career. And I would have them take career out of that wheel, and I would have them put it on an index card. And I would put the level that they have it at, and I will have listened to them about what it is within their career that they want to work on, and I will have captured some words. So it might be that the words might be to improve their status. It may be that they need to find more heart in their work. It may be find that they may want to be more creative in their career. They may want to find something new in their career. And I would capture all of these. And then what I would do is that I would have them write that on the card. And then what I would do is ask them then to put it on the floor. And then I would get up. I have them to get up, and I would have them to walk around it. And I would have them walk around it, and then I would pose a variety of other questions as I watched them going around. So, for example, what are you hearing more about your career inside of you? Where do you feel this more? Is there something going on in your body that is bothering you about your career? And if so, what is that? I would ask them also things like, why are you stopping at this point? Is there something that's coming up for you? What would that be? So that I get them to feel, because once we get the movement going, my finding with all my clients is that they start to find more information. And it's coming not only from their head, but it's coming downwards into their body. Because they're freer rather than just sitting all the time. And they find new solutions and different solutions. And often they'll come up with a very aha moment at that particular time. And then I will do that with another section. And then I will do it with another section. So maybe three sections. So we work on probably usually three areas. And then I will have that once they have done that, we go back and then we write what is their intention for that area. What do they want to achieve? And so they take what they have embodied and put that also into their statement of what they want to do. And it becomes more fulfilling, I think, on many levels for them. It comes a deeper dive. And I think that that's where we want to go, is into that deeper dive, so that the individual gets out of the head and down into the physical being, so that they can move with this. And that's the other point is that once they have done this with the areas of life, and then they've done their statement of how they want to move forward, I then ask them then to stand again, and I read the statement to them as they're walking around these three areas. And then I ask them, is there anything more is there something that's missing from this particular statement that's coming up for you now? And sometimes there is, and sometimes there not. However, what this does, it starts to, again, enrich in the physical being and also the head, so the mind, the body, and the spirit, a little bit more deeper into the whole process. And so I'm going to stop there for a second and then ask any if anybody has any questions around working with the areas of life and this particular process of physicalizing.
I have a question.
Certainly.
So I'm thinking about this in my mind and the way it's being executed, and I'm wondering, do you ever have them switch directions to change which side of the brain they're accessing?
Yes, that's true. Very good question. Yes, I do, is that I will have them to think about the creative side very much so, and I use colors through that, and I use symbols, and I use things like this particularly to get them going. And at the same time, the logic. So, yes, I do ask them this. I also will have them stand actually on it, as opposed to standing behind it or around it. I will actually have them stand on it. So the vibration of the career goes up, or the personal development goes up through their body, and so that they can feel it going through them. And what I will also do is almost do a visualization with them. And I will show you that in the next exercise of how I do that when I do it with Kathy. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks, yeah.
I had a question too.
Yes, Christina.
Okay, please. There's another person who wants to ask a question.
That's Christina.
Okay, thank you. My question is very simple. I do understand that you put them on the card so that they can embody what they are feeling. My question is, second step, do you detach them so that they can look at what they are feeling from a detached position, and then can grow feelings that they can grow feelings that they can how can I put it, they can grow things that they can put on to help them deal with them, or you just am I making myself understood?
Yes, I think I understand what you're saying. Yes.
You detach them, or you... Yes.
So, I mean, what I have them do also, so I have them stand away from the cards.
That's it.
And I have them to look at the card, and I'll ask the questions. So, for example, how do you feel about this now, this career that you've talked about before? Is there something else that's coming up for you? Is there a color that's associated with it? So as a detached being, at the same time, once they have done that and they've given me those pieces of information, I ask them then to put it on the card. So that then becomes part of that card. And then I have them embody that with it. Does that answer your question, Christina? Yeah. Good. These questions also bring up lots more information. So this is good. Thank you. Adds to the soup. Anyone else?
Sharon.
My question was just, do you do like any sort of anchoring exercise at that point where you've taken the intention, you're really bringing it into the body? It seems like it's that type of exercise there.
Yeah, that's a great question. In actual fact, sometimes I do an anchoring if I find that the person is, I guess the question is, I'm using that assessment, whether they need it, whether I feel that there's something really that has been traumatizing them, or feeling that there's something a bit off, I would anchor it then. And I could see that they really need something extra, then I would anchor it. If I feel that they're fine where they are at that point, I think this is a type of anchoring into itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't, if you want to use it, absolutely, go forward. Be creative.
Hi. It occurs to me that it would be funny to ask them, instead of just looking down at it or standing on it, let them walk with it on their heads.
That's a great idea as well. Good. Now we're getting some creative ideas. Yay. Add to the mix. I like that. Anyone else? And also add in, please. If not, then we will move on to the next process. Okay? All right. Okay, Kathy, this is where we come in. Yay. So, Kathy, I'll have to ask you to unmute.
Okay.
All right. What we're going to do right now is we're going to actually show you the way this goes. So I'm going to do an exercise with Kathy, and it's around values. I use the values a lot in my work. I use a tool which is called Values Online so that they can rank their priority values, and they get different maps, and this is one of the maps that they'll get, prioritizing their 127 values. And what I end up doing is I do a debriefing process with them around their values. And I'm going to do a debrief with Kathy on one of her values. And I'll show you exactly how I do it. And it's through storytelling. And then it's through physicalizing it at the same time. As we all know, storytelling is a really important piece of our life. And we're all full of stories. And those stories are linked, again, if we're talking about values, are linked to our behaviors that come out and the habits that we have. So they're all linked in for the good and for the bad sometimes. And so consequently, we need to decide what those, the good and the bad is on that particular thing or on that value. So what we're going to do is, what I would do is this process. And so I'm going to go into the coaching process with Kathy. So, hi, Kath, how are you? Oh, yeah, I'm mute.
I thought I was. Okay.
You were for a moment. Okay. So, Kathy, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. How about you?
I'm super duper, and it's great to be with you.
Yes, I'm enjoying this.
I like your hair this way, by the way.
Thank you.
<It's> straight. So we're going to do our working on debriefing your values today. So today we're going to just do one value.
Okay.
And I would like you to share with me what that value is.
One that I have that I find shows up a lot in my life is respect.
Respect.
Yes.
Okay. All right, great. Respect. And can you share with me what does that respect mean to you?
Respect means holding in regard other people and their position, I want to say, in your life or in the world.
Okay, right. Now, I would like to ask you, can you share with me a situation or a time where you could illustrate how respect was really became important to you?
Well, one that comes to mind, let me put the tool follow down, is when my sons were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very difficult time with my sons, even though they were really good kids. They didn't get into drugs or trouble, but they were extremely disrespectful of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just completely lose it every time they were sappy to me or did not treat me with respect. I didn't know why I kept losing my temper with the boy. But looking back on it, I understand that it was because I felt that they were not respecting me as their mother.
Okay, great.
So that's probably the biggest one. But there are many instances where when I feel disrespected is when I tend to become uncentered.
Uncentered. And when you are respected, where do you feel that in your body?
In my heart.
Heart.
Yeah, there's an opening, there's a contentment, a feeling that all is right in the world.
Okay, great. And if there was a color that was associated, what would that color be?
It would be red.
Red. Okay, good. And where is that noise coming from?
Let's see. Somebody maybe. It's not coming from me, so it could be somebody. Please, everybody, mute if you are not speaking.
Okay, sorry about that, Kat.
No problem.
Okay. And if there was a symbol that associated with respect, what would that symbol be? It can be anything from an animal, plant, whatever, a symbol, whatever you wish.
I would say, for some reason, what comes to me is like an urn or a cup, a fancy cup.
Okay, great. I would like you to take your little index card or a piece of paper. Great, super. And I'd like you to put respect in the middle of it.
Okay.
And then I would like you to put around it, heart. And you can draw a heart if you want, or whichever. Be creative. And then put red.
I'm actually doing this in red.
Good. And an urn. A fancy cup.
Okay. Urn. Oh, fancy cup. Can I just draw the fancy cup?
You can. You're using your artistic abilities.
You know me. It has handles for some reason.
It must be Grecian.
There you go. We can write an ode to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then I would like you to put somewhere on there, open, contentment.
Open.
Others. And regard.
Okay.
All right. Now I would like you to stand and put it on the floor somewhere. That's great. Great.
Okay.
All right. Now I'd just like you to stand behind it for a moment, and I would like you to just relax your arms and just, I'd like you to take a couple of deep breaths in and out. So deep breath in and out. And in and out. And another one, and feel it all the way through your body, all the way to your feet, all the way up to the top of your head and through your fingers and your arms and the whole body. Now what I would like you to do is I would like you to take your mind and your body to your heart. Now center yourself and look inside that heart. And in that heart is what we call respect. And the beautiful color of red exists around it. And just visualize that and sense it inside of your body. And also the urn and how it's playing, the fancy cup with its handles, are playing a role in that heart, respect. And sense how open it is for you and how contentment sits within that cup or in that heart and the regard for others. And just sense through your whole body what that's like to have respect sitting in there, alive and well. And radiating the red color. Just breathe into it. Breathe through your whole physical being. Now, if there's a gesture that represents this feeling and sensation throughout you about respect, this value, what would that gesture be? And you can show us.
Let's see. It would be an opening of the hands.
An opening of the hands. Mm-hmm. Ah, it's kind of like the urn in many ways.
Yeah, it is. It's holding.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, great. And is there anything else that's coming up that you would like to put into that urn or into that holding?
There's a validation.
Validation.
There's a sense of order of things being in their place.
Great. Okay, super. And how are you feeling?
Very nice, very open, very content.
Great. What I would like you to do then is I would like you to take the card and I would like you to put on it also validation. And a sense of order. And if you can describe the gesture, what it was, just as a memory.
Okay.
And now I'd like you to put it back on the floor again. And what I'd like you to do again is to just relax and take a few deep breaths. And I would like you to just walk around this. Just walk around it and look at respect from different angles now. And whatever's coming up for you, if anything comes up through your body or through your mind, and listen to that. And to see, is there something else that's missing that has just appeared for me around respect?
When I look at it upside down,
yes,
the cup is upside down and it feels like things are flying out. And it causes me stress. My heart squeezes.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. So then keep moving around.
So it's like the cup is only good when it's upright.
So therefore, is this correct for you? Or does it need to be something else? Because what is respect for you? It's open.
It is. It's open and it's a holding. Putting a top on it wouldn't do.
Okay.
But you know what comes up for me is that when it's tipped over or upside down, it makes room for more.
Okay, great. Can you explain room for more? What is more for you?
More wonderfulness.
Okay.
For more, more perspective, more.
Perspective.
Yeah.
And therefore, what has happened to that stress feeling? Is it still there when you?
No, it's gone.
It's gone. Okay, yeah. Great.
It's okay for it to be upside down. It's okay for, in fact, I wouldn't want it to get too full anyway, because that would, then you wouldn't have room to put more goodness in it. But it's good for it to go.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's good for it to be upset from time to time, because that does open up room for greater growth.
Wonderful. Well, great. So how are you feeling now?
Good.
Good.
It's very cool. I never thought of it that way. I've always thought of respect as just being there and necessary.
So what is this exercise done for you?
It's given me a different way to look at something that I've never really looked at deeply before. And I think it's going to be very helpful to be able to, if I'm feeling like I'm not getting respect or I'm not respecting somebody, to understand that that's okay. That just leaves room for growth. So I can be looking for the lessons in this, as opposed to just being pissed off.
Okay, great. Well, wonderful. Thanks, Kath.
Thanks.
Kathy, for doing that. And so what I would do, everyone, is that I would do the same process for a variety of the different values. So this debrief takes a bit of time, and because I don't like to rush it. If I do 9 values, it usually takes me 2 hours, simply because I really want people to have a really wonderful feeling within their bodies, come up with some thoughts, and also to be able to sense something very different is happening within them. And this usually is what happens. a huge amount comes up with doing the values and this embodiment work, and it shifts and changes. I will show you how we do it in Constellation in a moment. But before we do that, is there any questions? Thank you so much, Kathy. Nope.
No questions? You awed everybody. They're speechless.
No. We all can do it. All right. Well, good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how Constellation. So, for example, if I was working with a client and we did maybe 4 or 5 or 6 values, is that how they would, I would ask them to go through the same process each time and ask them to put it on the floor wherever they can, in whichever way. I do not shape this at all. And the shapes become amazing, and I take photos of them because I'm curious as to all my different clients and what shape they have created. So I'm just going to share with you a few of them. Now, oh dear, what happened to them? Oh, here they are. Let's see. Okay, share screen, Kevin. And here we go. So here, you can all see this. Whoops. All right, here's one. And this is, as you can see, these are the areas of life on the different, there's here. And what I have found from my discussion with them was there's these other pieces that came up, connect, energy, balance, and global. And so then I asked them, okay, so let's put this into a constellation. How do they fit on the floor? And so this person explained to me that out of all the three, the balance and energy is very important within those three. And then they said, in between career and spiritual development, there's a very big global aspect for me. And then they said that there was a huge connection between, I don't know, what is that lower one for you? What is, because the pictures are all over it. Anyway, so this is what they had said. So I have them explain to me, once they've done this constellation, what does it mean? What are the connections? Can you, it's like reading tarot. What do you read into this? And then this is another one. So she had done a picture, which is in the middle of her state of being that she wished to have, which gives her a lot of energy. And then these are her values that she put around that. So as you can see, there is independence, calm, challenge, immerse, and explore at the top. And so wherever she was standing at the bottom here from under challenge and looking upwards, that she found that explore was exactly where she needed to go with a lot of these values and in her life. The next one here is I have she put them all around her, and I had her stand in the middle. And I had her stand in the middle and sense what was that like inside of her with this circle of values around her. And then I would just repeat, as I did with Kathy, the different values, or weave a story, or weave something around it, and just leaving it very open. And here's another one, and it's a very interesting story, this one, is that this woman, she laid them out in this format. And so I said, okay. And when she came to work, she said, oh, work, that's my most important value. That's the one I want, and that's the one I do. I'm just a worker. And then all of a sudden, something changed in her face when she looked at the rest of them, and she said, but that's not what I'm asked to do here. I'm asked to work, but that's not what I'm asked to do. I'm a manager, and I'm asked here to inspire and lead. I'm actually working from the wrong values. So this was a huge aha moment for her, and she said, I have to tell you, I'm a micromanager. I said, oh. So if you look at it from the point of inspiring your team and leading your team, what do you need to do? She says, well, obviously I need to have a discussion with my team and to give them more authority, more autonomy. I said, okay, and when are you going to do it? I'm going to do it right away because this is really important. So it shifted the way she led because she looked at her values from a different point of view. And she felt it in her body. You can see tree, swing, car, all of these things. She could see that they felt a very different symbol and a different feeling within her body. And she's now become a very, she's got a new position, which is higher. She's a director of the European Union. And she's in DG NIR, and she is the director for Western Balkans, a very difficult job to have. So she now is using these in a very, very prominent way in her work and leading and inspiring. And she sent me some of the comments and from her colleagues and male colleagues as well, which is interesting, of how they adore working with her. So this is really an important factor. This can help and change. So here's sort of a messy looking one. And this includes the wheel and the values. And so I can't remember exactly what this person was saying. However, at this point, however, they interconnected them in a shape that worked for them at that particular moment. And here's another one. Okay, so this is to deal with situation. And this is what I want to talk about now, is that you can do this type of constellation work with a situation that our clients might be having. So, for example, if they are having trouble they have on their team a person that is not pulling their weight. So that becomes the center point of this conversation. It becomes the center of the constellation. And then I will ask them a variety of questions around it. And I will ask them to put, well, what are the values you need to solve this question? And so they'll look up their values and they will go. And so, for example, this person chose creative, inspire, and legacy. Oh, that was legacy. That's another one. That was one of her values. So those were three. Now, this made a difference in this particular person. So in other words, what would happen if the person that was having trouble with their team member is that you would look around the whole thing and they would walk around the constellation. They would find ideas of how to, looking at it from different values as to how can I solve this problem? What are the questions or what do I need to do with myself or what do I need to do with others? And so this can very much help to get it out of the head, into the body, and a distance. Because much of the time, we are dealing with our clients that are too much in their head. And so, as we know, I mean, we get all messed up in the head and we don't get the clarity. So it's about unpacking this particular thing. So this is how I would do it with a situation. So you can use body work. I would have a gesture. If they need to have a gesture, what would be that gesture that would relieve the tension or relieve what it is that you need? But that would be the last thing that I would ask is, what's a body gesture? And then I would have them share with me, what can I do using that body gesture? You don't have to do it with everyone. It's not compulsory to do all of those particular pieces. But I would make sure that you really get them out of their head and question them. Where do they feel it in their body? Well, if there's a color associated, if there is and you can even ask, where's the temperature? What's the temperature of this? You can ask a variety of different questions that you have in your creative minds about getting them deeper, into a deeper dive. So I'm going to get out of the stop share. And so what we've done so far is we've talked about how to take people into a deeper dive into their body by moving them into a more creative way of looking at, say, their areas of life or their values or a situation, which includes all of that. And so it's the questioning that we all are fabulous at, because we're all coaches and all do questioning. And then it's the listening. We really have to listen and watch their bodies as they move, because that will tell us something, their body language, and get curious about it. Ask them, why are you feeling, I sense that there is something that's happening for you, and your shoulders are tight. Is there something you want to say about that? Yeah, no, I feel it when I'm standing here, I feel it in my shoulders. So what do you need? So it's really about getting into them a deeper sense of being. So are there some questions so far? Everybody's on silent.
I have one.
Yes.
Actually, I've got two. One is, does it make a difference their learning mode? So like with auditories or visuals? This to me seems very kinesthetic, which I'm a lot kinesthetic.
Yeah, very good question. It is very kinesthetic. And what I tend to do is, for the people that are visual, this is also helps them to be visual because they can see it in front of them. They've laid it out. Auditory, you can ask them to listen to their inner voice. Ask them to listen to what are they hearing about this value or this situation. And then so that they can explain it out, and you can get the answers that way as well. Does that answer your question? And the second question, Kat?
Yes. The second one is, when you go into a situation where you're coaching an executive, do you find that they have any pushback? Does it seem too woo-woo to them? How do you present it to them?
It's interesting you ask that question, because this is something that, you know, they can get. If my feeling is, if they are comfortable with you, and that's why they've chosen you as a coach, that they're going to flow with you because they trust you. And so I'm not going to do something with them that they're not going to feel comfortable with. And I ask them, you know, would you like to do an exercise which is very different than what we've been doing, or maybe different for you? And they'll say yes or no, and so then we just go from there. I have had no problem, because they have just got into the mode of this, and they just flow with it. And if they don't, then we just move into another realm. That's what coaches do. We just find another angle, right? Does that answer your question?
It does.
In fact, I have one thing is that I was working with one client, and I wasn't really sure whether he would be into this. And I said, I see that you have a football sitting here. I said, do you like football? And he says, oh, yeah, I love football. And I said, okay, could you get the football for me? And so we then got the football, and we started to play with the football. And I asked questions through the football. And he was fine with the physicality of that, and he enjoyed it, and at the very end of all the coaching, he said, I love the creativity of the physicality, and he was not in that mode at all. However, it wove into something that he liked. So anything else? Everyone's so silent.
I have a question.
Oh, great.
I noticed in one of your examples, it was a woman on a career path. She had a color associated with the words, but then she wrote the color in a different color. So she might have chosen red, but she wrote it in green. And yeah. I was wondering if you explored that and how you would have explored.
Okay. Very good question also is that, in actual fact, I don't normally explore it, because it may simply be that the pens that she had at the time, we only had so many pens, and so she chose a color. However, It's a very good question, and an actual, I have done it a couple of times. Explore, why did you use that color and then you chose another color? And so they answered that, and however they feel okay about it. So I think you can explore it. And in fact, I believe that all of these pieces can be explored as you as a coach and being in that creative mode is getting clarity and deeper. It doesn't mean to, it may be something that you get curious about. It may not have any relevance at all. It may do. However, it's the curiosity that brings it up, and it also triggers something within them. As we all know. I'm not telling you anything new. Thank you, Heather. Anyone else? Either I bored you.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, Terry, the beautiful Terry.
Okay. This is wonderful, Kevin. And over the years, I've played with things like this, and one of the cards I have is life purpose. I actually have laminated some of the cards because I want to make sure they don't get stepped on too often, so I have to replace them so much. And one of them is life purpose. And I always weave that in because, for me anyhow, it's the cornerstone of the whole essence of that person in a few words. So I just wanted to offer that and see if you've ever thrown in purpose.
I haven't, Terry, and I think it's a great idea to do that, and I think that it's something that I will want to start doing, and I think that all of these, the examples that I showed you today were just simply a few pieces, but that, like, purpose is really probably one that you could play with really beautifully, and then add on and create, add on the values and add on the different areas. You could really do a beautiful constellation and creation. Thank you. Anyone else?
I was piggybacking on what Terry said. I was also thinking that the well-being qualities would be perfect to do this with.
I'm sorry, the which?
The well-being qualities
That
we use in some coaching.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's really adapted.
Which are very, very similar to the values, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be very, very important to use as much of the tools that we have and just find a different way of doing them. I guess the question for you is, how many of you use a little bit of embodiment work with your clients?
Probably most of us.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And this is wonderful. And it's, I think that we sometimes forget that we can also do it online as well. So that if we're doing our coaching just online, we can have them stand up and we can have them do this. Excuse me. And so it's not just face to face that we can do this. And it's a little bit more clunky in sometimes a way because he doesn't feel that connection. However, it's still really valuable because we're there in the room with the other person. In many ways. So I still think that it's very valuable in that shape.
Kevin, I have a comment.
Yes.
A couple of things. One is that I've found that body work where you have, if people are scattered, way of gathering them is to say, this is I. This belongs to me. And if you had them then pull up all that they had found and noticed and get it into them, I think that would be very exciting.
That's great.
So that they take it with them.
Yeah, exactly. It's wonderful. That'd be great. It's really holding that inside. And
of course you could ask how they feel with that, and what are there any adjustments once it's all embodied?
Yeah,
but they should be glowing when they leave. The other thing I edit, so I have a suggestion. It's a linguistic suggestion. There is a difference between can you do something and will you do something?
Yes, that's true.
And when you say can, the answer is yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
When you say will, then it invites them, I think, to do whatever it is you want.
Very good point. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I get to learn as well because I love learning. Anyone else?
So, Kevin, I do a lot of graphical coaching where we have a whiteboard and I capture what they're saying in pictures and all this sort of thing. You've given me some ideas, the whole constellations approach of instead of me drawing it up there, which I usually do, I'll give them the pen sometimes, but I like the idea of saying, so you said such and such, where does that go on this picture?
Yeah.
And then inviting them to say, okay, now what comes clear for you? I like that idea a lot, so thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, you know, using the embodiment in any way, shape, or form that you can with your clients doesn't have to just, I just showed you with the areas of life and also values and also situation a little bit. So you can use it in any way you wish. And I just think that it's another way of unpacking things. We've got to get people out of their heads and down into their bodies and down, not only to, we often talk about the mind, the mind-heart connection, but we got to get into that body and into that deeper, into the well of the spirit. And that's their whole being. And I sense that from what happens with my clients, when they go through this, and especially with the values and whichever, they do, you can see a very different glow, and you can feel a different feeling that there's something that they have triggered on now, and which is bigger than just in here. And I really encourage everyone to get as crazy as you can with whatever you do. And whatever we can do to help our people is the important thing. Is we're just there as the catalyst, so it's all good. And so I, if there's nothing else, we will come to an end. But if you have questions, you can always email me. And I wish everyone well in their creative embodiment work. And thank you so much for everything. This has been really beautiful to be with all of you. And I look forward to hearing more. So.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much, Kevin. This was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank Namaste. You.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Bye. And the recording Bye. Will be posted.
Fantastic.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye.